riches all too great to count, and a high ancestral name. But I also dreamt which pleased me most, that you loved me still. That you loved me, you loved me still the same. That you loved me, you loved me still the
Good evening, listeners. Welcome along to another edition of Ireland Calling, broadcasting out of the Planet FM studio in Auckland tonight on a Wednesday night. Our delayed broadcasts in Christchurch on Saturday night, Access Radio Wellington and Capri Coast Radio on Sunday. Oliver Lee is my name, and the programme you've been listening to for almost 30 years, Ireland Calling, brought to you with the great support of the Hugh Green Group. Very hard for me to sit here in the studio tonight and think that within the next day or two, the victims of the terrible atrocity in Christchurch will be laid to rest. And a community, very much like the Irish community, we're all immigrants here, are dealing with the fallout from the events in Christchurch on Friday. What a great gesture by the Irish community all around New Zealand to cancel our greatest day that we celebrate every year, celebrations to mark St. Patrick's Feast Day. And I know this was tough decisions to be made by the communities in all centres, but it was the right decision and well done to all involved. And it was great to see a great turnout of people in Auckland for the Mass on St. Patrick's Day, and the way everybody just talked and went about their business. And my praise to all the Irish communities. I know, listeners in Wellington, you were looking forward to your parade down there in the Hutt Valley. And the Grand Marshal was none other than Micheál Muirchertach, who was in New Zealand to celebrate with the Irish community at the New Zealand Gaelic Games Championships. Well, thanks to the Ambassador's Office and tracking down Micheál, we're going to talk to him on the programme here in a few minutes' time. So I hope you'll enjoy my chat with Micheál. I've spoken to Micheál on many occasions in the past, and one of the highlights was talking to him in 1994, literally previewing the All-Ireland Hurling Final that year, when the news broke that the IRA had announced a ceasefire that has lasted, obviously apart from the atrocity in Omagh, which we know there's people living in New Zealand with strong connections to Oma, and remember that terrible day that that bomb had caused to the 31 families in 1998 on the 15th of August. But anyway, we're going to have a chat to Micheál and talk to him about how he's getting on since he retired from broadcasting, and get his thoughts on what he thinks of New Zealand. He's been here for a while. He taught this man at school, so Luke Kelly, the great Luke Kelly, Raglan Road.
On Raglan Road of an autumn day, I saw her first and knew that her dark hair would weave a snare that I might one day rue. I saw the danger and I passed along the enchanted way, and I said, let grief be a fallen leaf at the dawning of the day. On Grafton Street in November, we tripped lightly along the ledge of a deep ravine where can be seen the worth of passion's pledge, the queen of hearts still making tart, and I not making aid. Oh, I loved too much, and by such is happiness thrown away. I gave her gifts of the mind, I gave her the secret sign that's known to the artists who have known the true gods of sound and stone, and word and tin to without stint. I gave her poems to say with her own name there and her own dark hair, like clouds over fields of May. On a quiet street where old ghosts meet, I see her walking now, away from me so hurriedly. My reason must allow that I had loved not as I should, a creature made of clay, when the angel woos the clay he'd lose his wounds at the dawn of day.
Yes, one of my favourite songs, and I lived in Raglan Road myself for a few years when I lived in Dublin. Welcome along. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Ireland Calling. special occasion this week that we're honoured to link up with a man that I normally talk to, or used to talk to, around the first Sunday of September every month. Probably did it for 20 years because, as many of you long-term listeners will know, I broadcasted the All-Ireland hurling and football finals for 20 years on the radio here in New Zealand. And before every hurling final and some of the football finals, when he wasn't playing golf with former presidents or former Taoiseach, we linked up with Micheál Murathaigh. And Micheál is in New Zealand on a holiday with some of his family. He was to be the Grand Marshal at the Hutt Valley St. Patrick's Day Parade last Sunday, but as a result of the terrible atrocity in Christchurch on Friday, as I mentioned at the start of the programme, all parades and all festivities, official festivities, were cancelled as a mark of respect to the 50 victims that died, and many will be laid to rest over the next 24 hours. Micheál, you're very welcome to New Zealand, and I wish we were talking in happier times.
Good meal, Michael. It's nice to hear you in your own country and that I'm out here. As you mentioned, the original intention was an idea that the ambassador from Ireland, the first ever Irish ambassador to come to New Zealand, Peter Ryan, he invited me out, as you mentioned, to be Grand Marshal of St. Patrick's Day Parade. We knew the moment we heard that terrible news anywhere in Ireland, and I would say anywhere around the world, it was the same emotion is created. Everything has to be cancelled. I knew within seconds there would be no parade, there'd be no Grand Marshal. People in sympathy the world over with the people who suffered, people who died. It was a terrible thing. Could you imagine it taking place in a place of prayer in a mosque? It did happen, remembered for a long, long time.
I said, Micheál, at the start of the programme, I linked up with you on many occasions, but I do remember talking to you in a hotel in Portlaoise about the 31st of August 1994. And as you linked up to preview the All-Ireland final of that year, you had the breaking news, first time it was broadcast in New Zealand, about the IRA ceasefire in 1994. And we all looked and thought, this is fantastic that, you know, there's going to be peace at last, 30 years of troubled times in Ireland. And so it was till August 1998, the 15th of August, when we had the terrible Omagh bombing. So the feeling that people in Ireland had, we got that feeling the other day, and it was just one of these moments, Micheál, that you don't think will happen in your country.
Exactly. I remember the same incident you mentioned, 1994. I was on my way south just seconds before that. I had a glimmer of news from somewhere that this had happened. And I said, the moment that telephone rings, I'll be telling Oliver about it. And it was a wonderful piece of news that day for the people in Ireland, north and south, really.
And Micheál, for 20 years I broadcast the All-Ireland Finals. We'll talk a bit about you being broadcasted a bit longer than that, but growing up as a young man in the west of Ireland in Galway, and hearing Micheál O'Hare on the radio broadcasting before we got a television, what it was like for people overseas to hear All-Ireland Finals. And we brought that to people here in New Zealand for many years. And I know over the course of the next week, and you're here for the Gaelic Games Championship in Auckland, you'll meet people that would have heard you on them broadcasts. And you've travelled many parts of the world, and you know what it was like for people to link in to RTE or to Ireland on that first Sunday and third Sunday in September.
I knew what they felt. I knew the importance for them to have it come to them in some way as it was happening. The radio was the official one at the time. Television came in later, but it was a great addition to it. And I remember those games very well. And when I was broadcasting, I knew that the people everywhere had the same interest as the people on Hill 16 or on any stand in Croke Park in any of those days. We had two events in Wellington. It was great to meet them. We had the first one, an event in the Hutt Valley Irish Society. Best of dancing, entertainment, and meeting people that spoke about matches, hospitality. You couldn't beat it. We had the same at another event, the Irish Society in Wellington. That's the title of it. Strangely, it was a night of great hilarity and everything, even though it was closing down forever that night. But closing down so that a better one could be built and be ready for a lot of young Irish people I was surprised to see and to meet so many young Irish people at those two functions. And I'll meet more of them, I'd say, up in Wellington, up in Auckland for the football and so on, and maybe a bit of hurling. And today I spent, in a strange way, in Rotorua, imbibing Maori culture. Because I always think wherever you go, you should try and understand and get a bit of knowledge of the culture of sections of the country or all the country or old customs. We had a lovely day here, and I think it was a Taipu Park. And it was there we saw geysers for the first time ever, shooting steaming water and vapour 100 metres up into the sky. Not too far away, the mud pools belching little bits of heat and steam at times, and casting up an odd stone up in the air and it come down into mud and disappeared downwards again. A wonderful day, and we had a guide that told us everything about their history since they left the Polynesian Islands and came by boat across and so on. We had a great afternoon. It's not finished yet. We have another Maori event later tonight, and we'll learn more. And I think that's a great thing as well.
Now,
I mentioned the ambassador. The ambassador, I know him for a long time. Wherever he goes, he's an action man. Things happen. Things get done. It will be the same here now in New Zealand while he's the ambassador here. And he had a nice event in his own house. He invited people in, speakers of Irish, people that could speak a little, people that would learn. And we had a great night, and it started with each one of us telling briefly our own little story. And among those, you know, we had dancers, you know, we had dancers and musicians and so on. And we had people, you know, Cormac O'Beogly, you think of his name. All the Begleys were good singers and good music players. And then we had Michael Keegan, involved in the dance. And he's here now for the next 8 weeks to create a new work for the New Zealand Festival in Wellington. That's another wonderful event. We had the privilege of having those people and others, the learners of Irish. We had a great night, a kind guys. Some with very good Irish, some with bits, some with a little bit, but all interested and anxious to be that little bit. It has been wonderful so far.
Now, we're well known down here as producing some good rugby players. Has anybody mentioned the way the Irish rugby team have gone since they beat the All Blacks in November? Because we're a bit worried, Micheál.
Yes, November now has nothing to do with this weather in March. You know, the way things are. But these things happen, things change. They'll change again before the World Cup starts. And as the World Cup unveils it, the matches, we know how good and how bad all the teams are. I had the honour the other night of meeting Guidi. Guidi, he was the captain. He was the rugby player of the year, 2000, I think, in 16 and 17, before
Jonathan Sexton.
Our Irish man.
Sexton.
Jonathan Sexton, he got it. So he was telling me about all that, Guidi, and he was talking about the coming one. And the strange thing about him, he may have been captain once or twice as well, he played football in Ireland. He was there for a while, a good few years back, and he played, I think, up for County Meath. Bowden Barrett is his full name, or Byron.
Bowdy, as they call him.
They don't put the Barrett in at all. Everybody knows him, and he came into the Irish function, and we had a long conversation about rugby and about other games, and he's naturally looking forward to the big events in rugby ahead. So are every people into their team representing their country at the games, and Ireland is one of those.
Well, Micheál, Gaelic games, it's a unique occasion for Irish people. We all come from it starts with our parish, and a parish near to me are still celebrating Corrifin and North East Galway after beating a team from Kerry, Dr. Crokes, in the All-Ireland Club Final. But we start there with our parish, our school, we go on to our county, and then the country. Well, last year was a great year for hurling.
But Corrifin did something one time that I never heard of it before. They were amalgamating with the neighbouring club. And usually there's great difficulty about colours and, you know, the name of the new club and all that. They had a very civilised approach to it. They said, we'll play a challenge match, and whatever team wins, the team's colours for the new venture ahead as a combination would be the colours of the winning team and the challenge game, and the name wouldn't change either. So they did everything very well. They won it recently, and they were very well, and they had an emphatic win over the best club team in Kerry, the folks of Killarney.
And they'll be probably going for three. But going back to last year's hurling final, I remember linking up with you before the All-Ireland final in 94. It was Limerick against Offaly, and you thought that was Limerick's year, and it was, with about 6 minutes to go, and they were beaten by a Limerick-led Offaly team and in 94. But they came back last year. What scenes, and great scenes in Croke Park and indeed in Limerick afterwards. Are the celebrations still continuing down there, Micheál?
Still continuing, but in a very sensible way. They're treating it well. When the cup, the Liam McCarthy Cup, it went to all the schools, it went to all the clubs, and one of the conditions was there was to be no alcohol involved in any one of those meetings. That was a good thing. But Limerick, I tipped them on the 1st of February last year to win the All-Ireland. I knew from the background they had. I had been watching them closely. I based it all on a wonderful victory they had 2 years earlier against a good Tipperary team. And my mind was telling me if they could do a thing like then they could repeat it. They did. And they're not out of the running for this year, even though I think it's very hard to win two in a row. We could see new champions this year again.
So who are you predicting to win the hurling on the 20th of March 2019?
Well, I have two in mind at the moment, but I didn't get a chance to see them too much recently. Waterford would be one, and Tipperary would be the other, with Galway staying silently in the background. But they'll be a lot better than they were last year. It'll be a great hurling championship again. Last year, it couldn't be thought of before that. The excellence of it, the satisfaction everyone got from it, the players themselves. We're all looking forward to the same or even better in the year that's ahead of us.
Well, Galway are playing Waterford in the semi-final of the hurling at the weekend, so we'll see how they go, and that double header is on. But going back, going back to 1982, you were probably training some of the Kerry Dublin-based Kerry players. Kerry were heading for five in a row, and Dublin are heading for five in a row. They think Dublin are going to go. They haven't made the playoffs for the league, which is a bit surprising, but obviously the big prizes are in September.
Yeah, well, they have nothing in mind, I think, this year but the five in a row. That doesn't begin for another few weeks, a good few weeks. That's what they're aiming at. It was never done before. Wexford did a four in a row. Kerry did a four in a row on two occasions. Not one of them managed to put the fifth into it. Dublin are getting the chance now, and they'll put an almighty effort into it. But I think other teams have caught up with them a little, notably Mayo. And Padraig McGrath, he's a Mayo man. He's in Singapore for years and years, thinking of moving to Melbourne shortly. Spoke to him, one of the first questions he asked me when I landed here, how are Mayo doing? And he knew that they had beaten Kerry. He's hopeful, like all Mayo teams are. They're not out of the run. They'll be one of the strongest contenders for the reason that the manager that gave them the uplift a few years ago and got them into the upper level, into All-Ireland finals, he is back as the manager this year. He knows a lot of them. They all know him. That's a good combination. Mayo will be very much in it. So will Monaghan. Maybe Kerry, maybe Donegal, maybe Galway. They have improved a lot. I saw them this year already twice. So it will be a good football championship as well.
Well, we look back, Micheál.
One thing about Oliver and about Dublin, they never won an All-Ireland in a year ending in nine for the past 120 years.
Oh,
that'll have no effect in September.
That's given hope to all the other teams. We won't go back 120 years, but we go back the last 50 years. Tell us, if you were to pick out your two most favourite footballers from all your years of broadcasting and your two favourite hurlers, and why would you choose them?
Well, I'd go back a little, but I'd put two in. Mick O'Connell of Kerry and Sean Person. It would be wrong to try and separate. And I'm basing this now on skillful football. Football that attracted people to come to see them alone, not the match even. Maybe. That would be my two in football, even though we have a lot of wonderful footballers today. In hurling, it's a hell of a long time ago since he hung up his boots, the great Chris Deering. Now, it's difficult to say you didn't see better or his equal. I never saw his equal, and the reason I always stick with him, he played minor and won the All-Ireland for Cork in 1938. In 1943, if you're good at sums, as we say, you'll know how long a period that was. In 1943, he was winning his 18th Railway Cup medal for Munster, or with Munster, his 18th in all.
Right.
So, and he played every year, never missed a match, challenge or anything. Very skillful, very strong, driven by the game of hurling. He would be the number one. There'd be lots and lots of super hurlers that would be, you know, coming in for the second. Maybe Henry Shefflin, the only player with 10 senior hurling All-Irelands. So I'd say I put him very high. And of course, DJ Carey and lots of others. You know, Joe Canny. I'd rather wait until these people have finished their playing career. Joe Canny is as good as I ever saw. The skill, and, you know, he does the unexpected things. He does them well. He does them quietly. He's a quiet, very, very likeable person and great for the game of hurling.
Well, everybody was very happy with the hurling championship last year, but disappointment in football, a defensive type blanket defence and all this. Michal, you preferred the former style of football. Do you think we'll go back and change it? I know that Joe Brawley, well, I know somebody I likes him and don't, but he said well done to Dr. Crokes and Cora Finn for an expansive game the other day.
Yeah, but I don't believe in the modern football. It is not attractive. Spectators. Attendances at football matches were down last year. And I know after every hurling match last year, when you'd meet the people coming out or after, they'd be talking, wasn't that something? After most of the football games, and a very high most of them, after the game, the reaction was, I thought it would be a lot better. Let's hope there will be a change. Let's hope the GAA will do something that the rugby did way back in the 1990s. They held a meeting. There was only one item on the agenda. This is all the big powers in rugby, in world of rugby. One item on the agenda. How to make the game of rugby more attractive to spectators. That is the key. Spectators. They're the most important, if you like, element in sport.
Michal, do you miss not being behind the mic? You were probably behind it broadcasting games for, I could be wrong here, but close to 60 years, if memory serves me right. Definitely 50.
Well, 62 years.
62
years, really, and they were a wonderful 62 years. I don't miss it in this sense. While I was doing it over those 62 years, I was always going to see a match. It was an added privilege to be going to see a match and have the honour of broadcasting it as well. Nowadays, I go to all the matches. My job, it's not like other jobs when you finish, retire from work, you don't meet your workmates or anything like that except for the Christmas dinner. But I'm going to matches all the time, the same as I was going while I was broadcasting. So there is not a major change for me. I'm at the match, the important thing. Of course, you know, it would come into the head now and again, wouldn't it nice to be talking about this, particularly if I was looking at a very good game.
Well, let's hope that there's some good games this year, that the hurling final is hurling championship and football championship will be great games. And I know I broadcast on radio, but we're very lucky now. The GAA Go, the app, people can watch the phone on their iPads in their homes. And, you know, it's right there. They can take right the action. And, of course, the games are free on RTE radio as well. And the coverage from your former employers, RTE, is fantastic. The way that they build up and modern social media, they're able to link in with people all over the world. And I know, Micheál, it's a privilege. I look forward to meeting you later in the week. But to be here in New Zealand, it's a great honour to have you here. I know a close friend of mine, a former colleague, was officially due to be here last week, Heather Humphreys, but due to the Brexit issue, she had to cancel her trip to New Zealand. So I think we couldn't have a finer ambassador than you here to accompany Ambassador Ryan and Honorary Consul General Niamh McMahon, who I'm sure you'll meet from Clonmel later this week, to fly the Irish flag here in New Zealand this week on a week that has a very sombre mood throughout the country as people mourn the tragedy that took place in Christchurch less than a week ago. So enjoy your time in Rotorua, and you're coming through some good farming country. Once you head from Rotorua into Auckland, it'll be like the Golden Vale over there in Ireland. And we've picked another piece of music here called Slán Lama. I think this is a favourite singer of yours, is it?
Yes, indeed.
Good to talk to you, Micheál.
Okay, I'll have a good day, and may the year be enjoyable to everyone.
Thank you, Micheál. Thank you. That's a singer that I hadn't heard about before, but Micheál's son Cormac alerted to me and said that that's one of his dad's favourite singers. And that song was called Slán Lama, Beran Ní Imlíof. And you're listening to Ireland Calling brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And we'll have lots more music for it in the programme. Not a lot of chat because it's just hard this week to concentrate on things here in New Zealand. And also tragic news yesterday that a young man from Wexford was killed in an accident here in Auckland in a parachuting accident at the weekend. And he was from County Wexford. So saw that news on the paper yesterday. So while there's families grieving in Christchurch, there's also an Irish family grieving in Ireland, and friends of the young man that died grieving here in New Zealand. And there was also a tragedy in Ireland on St. Patrick's Night in Cookstown in County Tyrone at a young hotel where there was a disco for St. Patrick's Night. And before even the disco started at 9:30, there was a crush outside, and two young people, two 17-year-olds and a 16-year-old, were killed in the crush, both from Catholic schools in Cookstown in County Tyrone. So they're coming to terms with that. And I notice in the papers today that there was six people killed on the road in road accidents over the last few days. But they did, the celebrations for St. Patrick's Day went on in Dublin and all the cities throughout the country. Just to recap, one of the reasons Micheál is here, as he said, he was here to take part in the parades in Christchurch or in Wellington, Hutt Valley. And that was cancelled. It was great that he got the opportunity to meet the Irish community down there. I hope you're listening tonight down there on Access Radio and video. But you'll get the chance to meet Micheál in Auckland this weekend, because he'll be involved in making presentation of presenting prizes at the conclusion of the New Zealand Championship. This is Gaelic Games, football and hurling. And these games are taking place out at the Massey Rugby Club, Moyer Park. And that's, if you're heading out from town, you go out State Highway 16, or if you're coming around from the North Shore, come down around State Highway 17. And it's number 23 Granvale Drive in Massey. So Moyer Park is the name of it, if you Google it. And the games start there from 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, and they run right through till the finals on Sunday evening. So all the teams that are playing, there's teams from Auckland, Wellington, Queenstown, Christchurch, Taranaki, and all the teams, is, and there's hurling and camogie and senior football. So if you're free this weekend, why not get out there and support the New Zealand Championship on the 23rd and 24th of March at the Rugby Club. The rugby club is the Massey Rugby Club. And there's also a fundraiser happening as well for a Limerick man from Askeaton who was part of the Gaelic Athletic Association here, went back for a holiday at Christmas with his fiancée, due to get married, Dermot, here in August, or getting married in Ireland in July. And he was diagnosed with some serious cancers, and the outlook is not good. So his friends here in the GAA community, and indeed in Ireland, are rallying to support him. So I know people have been very generous in their support of the families in Christchurch, but Give a Little also have a page set up for Dermot, and it's called givealittle.co/cause/doit do-it-for-Dermot. So if you'd like to support Dermot and his family as he battles this terrible disease, I'm sure his family and friends would appreciate it. Okay, we'll move on and play some more music. And up next, we'll take All Along the Wild Way from Aoife Scott.
When will you bring me my love all along the wild Atlantic way? 60 years in Nova Scotia, waiting for the day, day that we're returning home all along the wild Atlantic way. When will you bring me my love, counting down the day? When The time that we climbed Crow Patch, we nearly went astray. Our legs were aching, falling off a solid on the wild Atlantic way. Atlantic rain. Time that we went skinny dipping down in Derry, Maine, smelling Galway salted ocean all of the wild Atlantic rain.
Beautiful song there, Aoife Scott. And of course, Aoife was here about 3 years ago and had a little tour around New Zealand. I'd like to say hello to Clodagh Fitzpatrick. Clodagh's from Carlow, and Clodagh was at the Irish Society on Sunday fundraising for Diarmaid and is involved in the Gaelic Games here. So Clodagh, I hope you've tuned in tonight on this programme. And just to remind you that the Gaelic Games run throughout the weekend at the Massey Rugby Football Club, not at Meola Road where they're normally played. This is out in Moir Park in Massey. So the games kick off there early on Saturday morning, and the finals are all on Sunday afternoon, with the men's final set for 4 o'clock. But it'll be a great weekend, and I'm sure many of you will enjoy meeting the great Micheála Murray-Hertig, who's here, and it'll be great to get a big crowd out there to cheer on all the footballers from all over New Zealand. And you're listening to us all over New Zealand, and you're listening to Ireland Calling, which is brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And you're listening to us in Auckland on Access or Planet FM, Plains FM in Christchurch. And again, our thoughts and all our thoughts and prayers go out to the community in Christchurch. And I have no doubt on Plains FM, there's many programmes presented by ethnic groups like myself and people from the Muslim faith, as there is on Access Radio and here on Planet FM in Auckland. So we all feel the pain that you're going through this week. We know it was very tough for people in Christchurch who had the earthquakes in 2010, 2011 and Kaikoura 2013. But they were natural disasters, and but the events of Friday by the man that you know, for whatever reason, came up with this awful idea to do what he did is just unbelievable. And sadly, on the front of the Irish Times today, we speak of national disasters. There's been a huge cyclone that has hit Mozambique and indeed parts of Zimbabwe, and over 1.5 million people in the eye of this storm. And the latest reports is that there could be thousands of people killed. And it's just, there's one entire area with 500,000 people living in it, completely flooded. And the picture here is just unbelievable. And if people aren't prepared to wake up and realise that global warming has something to do with this, I think now is the time. We know that march by young people, secondary school students all over the world last Friday, that was completely overshadowed here in New Zealand as a result of the events in Christchurch. But this is very sad to see. And I heard a report on RTE this morning from a BBC journalist who was on the scene there. And the scenes of devastation are just catastrophic. So everywhere there's people dealing with major disasters. And again, here in New Zealand, ours is a bit different. It's not a man-made, it's definitely not a man-made disaster, although it was created by certainly a man. All right, we'll continue on. We'll play a couple of songs here back to back. And I think we had Carolyn, we had the song there by Aoife Scott. We might as well go with her aunt now, Mary Black and Bright Blue Rose. A bit slow to start, but here we go, Mary. And I
skimmed across black water with it, once submerging on to the banks of an urban morning that hungers the first light much, much more than the mountains ever do. A ghost beside me goes down with ease of a dolphin and emerges unlearned, unshamed, unharmed. For she is the perfect creature, natural in every feature, and I am the geek with the
Yes, Mary Black there, and Bright Blue Rose. And some bright news, Special Olympics are on Abu Dhabi at the moment, and the Irish teams are doing very, very well over there. And I see where nephew of the John F. Kennedy hopes that the games, Tim Shriver, a nephew of the late President John F. Kennedy, and whose mother, Eunice Kennedy Shriver, founded the Special Olympics. He hopes that the Games can come back to Ireland after the hugely successful event there in 2003. But unbelievable scenes. Lovely picture here in the paper today of Sarah Louise Ray serving during her 2-0 win in the singles round one game. And to win gold is something out of my dreams. Jean Ann Johnson from Dublin could not help but cry. She stood on the sidelines of the basketball court having watched her daughter Emma win gold in the Special Olympics games at Abu Dhabi. I just can't believe they've won, she said, wiping the tears away from her face. But Shriver did say that the Special Olympics, say people with disabilities still face terrible stigma in the world today. Right, we'll have another song and we'll come back and wrap up the programme on what's a pretty tough week for everybody here in New Zealand. We're not stealing away quite yet, but here is the Furies with Steal Away.
Steal away, let's steal away. No reason left to stay for me and you. Let's start anew, and darling, steal away. Let's steal away and chase a dream, and hope they never find us. The dreary days, the end. We leave them all behind us. Steal away, let's steal away. No reason left to stay for me and you. Let's start anew, and we leave behind the city streets, the gloom and desolation, the rain, the cold, just growing old. God knows it's a hard old station. Steal away, let's steal away. No reason left to stay for me and you. Let's start anew, and I'll steal away.
Yes, but we'll steal away very shortly. Just the only other bit of news out of Ireland, still no further developments regarding Brexit. The European Prime Ministers are meeting on Thursday, tomorrow, and I know that Theresa May is due to release a statement, and it looks like she'll be looking for an extension till the end of June. But the reports in the papers today in Ireland is that maybe the European leaders may not grant her an extension unless they're absolutely sure that they have a plan for going forward. So there's still a lot of work to be done before the issue regarding Brexit is all sorted. In fact, an awful lot of work to be done. Theresa May had planned to put the deal that has been rejected twice to the House of Commons. In fact, that was due to take place today. But the Speaker of the House must have been alerted to something that happened back in 1632 or 1640 that said you can't bring the same bill to the House that has been rejected twice before. It has to change, or what they're voting on. So obviously he decided that that wasn't going to be, and put a spanner in the works, because it looked over the weekend that Sinn, or the DUP, 10 MPs, had been negotiating to get a deal, more cash for their support, and maybe they could have swung it around, but that was all thrown into the air as a result of this ruling by the Speaker of the House. Don't forget, this weekend, the Gaelic Games Championship out at the Massey Rugby Club in Moyer Road, starting at 9 o'clock on Saturday, finishing up on Sunday evening. If you can get out there over the weekend and cheer on the teams, there's hurling, football, camogie, young and old, and every size in between. So thanks again to Micheál Muirchertach for taking the time from his time in New Zealand this week to join with me on the programme tonight. Hope you've enjoyed the programme. And we started with Aoife with somber music, and we leave again and again. Our thoughts and prayers and sympathies goes out to the whole Muslim community in New Zealand who are grieving for their family and friends this week. Good night, goodbye, and God bless. May it be when darkness falls, your heart will be true. You walk a lonely road, oh how far you are from home. May it be the shadows call.